Today is the Pentecost. Thank you. Today is the Pentecost. What is Penta? Penta meaning 50. So it's 50 days after something? Passover. All right? So today is 50 days. So today is Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit comes. All right? That fill all the first generation of congregation. They were gathering in Jerusalem and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the Pentecost, and that's today. And this year is very special, right? 2018. How many years since the Israel become independent? 70 years. All right. Israel was declared independent on 1948, May 14th. All right. So today is a very special day. We are among these, it's like a historical event. Okay. And what happened in Jerusalem just recently? Trump declared Jerusalem is the capital, right? And this hasn't happened for like 2,000 years. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible, all right? And yet it happened. So we are actually witnesses of the histories in the making, all right? Personally, I become a Christian because the person, the pastor who come to my home to witness to me about Jesus. And my first question was, who's Jesus, right? Where he's from? You know, what nationality is he? And he says, he's a Jew, right? And I says, does Jewish people believe in Jesus? And he says, no. And I said, so you expect me to believe Jesus when his own people doesn't? Isn't that a good question?
Yeah.
Right? But then, the pastor is very smart, so he told me that watch out this city called Jerusalem, all right? And he says that this city will become the center of religion, even politics, even military, like the center of the world. And I was like, no way. If you tell me it's New York or Paris, or London, I might believe that, right? You tell me it's like, oh, Beijing, right? Thank you. Shanghai, right? But if you tell me it's Jerusalem, like, where is that? I have to find a map to find it, right? But, you know, behold, now you really look at it. You know, the reason that the 9/11 happened, it actually is something to do with Jerusalem, right? Because, you know, there are a lot of people, America was supporting the Israel, right, and all the terrorists in the world, they are hating, right? So when Trump declaring Jerusalem is the capital, right, almost all the world are fighting against it, right? So it's happening. So I just want to let you know, we are all witnessing the history happening. And Jesus says that, you know, when he's coming back, that, and he was speaking to the Jewish leader 2,000 years ago. He says, when would I come back? I'll come back when you said, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. You will welcome me. Then I will come back. Does that happen now yet? Not yet, right? It doesn't happen. I mean, we as a church, we are welcoming Jesus. But you know, how many Messianic Jews are in Israel right now? Not too many. All right? Still not too many. Less than 1%, less than 0.1%, all right, in Jerusalem. But the day are coming, the days are coming. Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, he just appointed some very important people in his government, a Messianic Jew, to be one of his advisors. And that never happened before, all right? So, just telling you, these are very important times, and this is a very important place. And today we're going to talk about John chapter 2, All right, because I heard from Pastor Joseph that you are going through the book of John right now, and he want me to speak on this John 2. And it happened. Let's go to the John 2 and go to the verse 13. All right? And if you have the Bible, or we can put it on the screen. And it says, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So see the time. This is, we're talking about the Passover. So how many of you know that when was the Passover date, the festival established? What was it for, Passover? The plague, right? Very good. All right, so this is like 2,000 years before Jesus' time, in Moses' time. And the plague was, there were 10 plagues, right? So the first one is the Nile River turned red, and then there the flocks, there are flies, there are fleas, there are all kinds of disaster, darkness and everything, right? And does that change the Herod's heart? No, it actually hardened his heart. You know, when disaster comes, people don't necessarily repent. They curse God, right? What is the last plague? Oh, wow. Death of the firstborn. All right? So is all the people in the land of Egypt died, in the firstborn? Are they all died? Only the people who on their doorpost, they put the lamb, the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. All right? So they have the red on the top and then the red on the side. And when the angel, okay, the angel that come to destroy, you know, come into every household in Egypt and to kill all the firstborn. Even the animals' firstborn got killed. But when they come to the door with the blood on the post, then it stopped. And then it passed over the house. They pass over. And that's what the name comes. Passover, all right? And so 2,000 years later, that's when Jesus come. And Jesus' ministry, this is actually John 2, the first miracle. What is the first miracle that Jesus performed according to the book of John? The water into wine, right? That's a wedding, right? The 3 days, like, the Jewish wedding, they're like a whole week of wedding. So no matter how much wine you prepare, you probably run out. Right? And Jesus was like, and he didn't say anything, but the mom come and say, hey, they ran out of wine. He said, what's that to do with me? This is not my wedding, mom. Right? But the mom, no, right? Mom, no. I mean, and then she says, fill the jars, 6 jars, big jars with wine. And Jesus turned it into water, like just like that. Is it scientific? No. All right. Anything that's scientific is not a miracle, right? Anything that you can reproduce, right? What is scientific, right? Reproducible, measurable, and controllable, right? But it's nothing scientific. But this is God, right? He's God. He can do it. So that's his ministry. But so after they turned that into wine, does everybody declare that this is the first miracle of Jesus? No. The servant knew that, but he didn't say anything. But the disciple knew that, right? The disciple, they were like watching this thing. Wow, what happened? You know, where's the wine come from, right? So they know. But this is a private miracle. This is like a ministry of Jesus, but it's in private. But what is the first open ministry of Jesus? Seriously, that's immediately what we're seeing right now. He's walking into the temple. And what does he do? He overthrows all the tables. Yeah. It's like he's like enraged and throws things, and then there are like cows and sheep and doves. And so can we actually watch the video? Are we ready? Let's watch the video instead of reading the scripture, okay? I'm going to show you. This is 2003, and this is one of the best video. It's called Gospel of John. Yeah, it's and you know what? I watched this when I was coming back from Taiwan, and I watched this video. Okay, let's watch it. Come on,
in the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. Whip from cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers. Scattered their coins. Yeah! And he ordered those who sold pigeons,
shake them out of here! Stop making my father's house a marketplace!
His disciples remembered that the scripture says, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." The Jewish authorities came back at him with a question.
What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this?
Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again.
Are you going to build it again in 3 days?
It has taken 46 years to build this temple.
But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said.
This is Nicodemus. Okay, this one.
While Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in him as they saw the miracles he performed. But Jesus did not trust himself to them because he knew them all. There was no need for anyone to tell him about them because he himself knew what was in their hearts.
All right, let's stop here.
There was a Jewish leader.
And then it will be chapter 3, talk about a Jewish leader who is Nicodemus. And then Nicodemus will go to see Jesus at night, all right? Because it's very dangerous to visit Jesus after what he has done, all right? Yeah. So we can pull up the lyrics on the screen, John 2:13-25. But we're not going to read it, okay? You already know the story. We're going to talk about some important points in here. So Jesus' ministry start, open ministry, start on what day? Passover. Did you get that? It doesn't look like a ministry, right? It's overthrowing tables, right? It's like very angry. We usually think ministry like, oh, he's saving people, he's healing people, but do you think this is a miracle? Does he perform any miracle in this event?
I think it was a miracle that nobody opposed him.
Very good, Joshua, very good. You know, on the Passover, let's think about this. How many people are in the city of Jerusalem? People, you know, the historian says it's about like 200,000 people, okay, in the city of Jerusalem, living there at that time, all right? But during the feast, the historian says about 2 million people will gather because there's a law, the Jewish law. All the males of the family, they need to come up to Jerusalem to worship God and bring sacrifice 3 times a year. Okay, so there are seven major feasts, Jewish feasts, but the three times, the one is the Passover, one is Pentecost, which is today, all right? And the other one is the Feast of Tabernacle, all right? So these three times, they're supposed to come and bring their family and bring the sacrifice, bring the sheep or doves, depends on how much money you have, or bring an ox, all right? So 2 million people coming to Jerusalem. So the temple will be filled with people. They all come and worship, and they bring their cattle and sacrifices. Okay, it's a very crowded place. So it's more people than what you saw on the video. All right? And there's one madman, Jesus, right? He take all these ropes and then like throwing and then pull out the money and then open up the gate and let go all the oxen. I mean, and nobody arrest him or try to conquer him or, you know, hey, this is my money. This is my cow. This is my merchant. I'm making money here, right? And we need this thing. You know, can you run a temple without the exchange of the cows or exchange of the money? Can you? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Very good, very good. You know, at that time, actually, the Jews, where do they come from? They come from all over the world. They are not just neighborhood. We are talking about people, and at that time, the Israel was occupied by Romans, and many people, it's called diaspora, right? Many people, or they go to north, like Syria, Lebanon area, and then come back, right? So they bring the money. They are not bringing the temple shekel. Remember, at that time, when somebody says, show me the money, right? And then whose head is on the money? Caesar's head, right? Can you offer Caesar's head's money to the temple? They say no, okay? This is like dishonoring God. You have to change it to the temple shekel. You have to exchange it. So there are people, the local people, this is a good opportunity to make money, right? Right? And there are exchange rate for all the different currencies, right? I mean, I have so many currencies in the world. I mean, I've been to like 10 different countries. Not too many, but, you know, still I have money from, from Middle East and somewhere else, you know, Kyrgyzstan. I have hundreds of dollars of Kyrgyzstan money, and I go to the airport, and they don't want to take it. I said, can you exchange this? You know, they say, what is this? It's Kyrgyzstan money, you know, and they don't recognize it. You know, Australian money, yeah, they exchange. You know, I got Australian money, I got English pound and other things, right? Even pounds or franc now, I mean, even German mark, probably nobody will exchange them now. Euro. Now it's called Euro, right? Yeah, so anyway, you know, so there are people actually make a living out of exchanging money, right? And now people bring sacrifice. They are ordered. I mean, it's the law. You have to bring your own cow. But, you know, if I live in, like, Lebanon, and I'm going to offer, right, I bring my own cow. I pick the choice. You have to pick the best one. You have to pick the one that has no blemish, okay? It's like you have to, because the priest is going to examine your offering, all right? If it's a lamb or anything bad, they're going to say, this is disqualified. You couldn't offer that. So if you bring your own from your home all the way, you know, 100 miles, and then the priest said, this is disqualified, what would you do? You have to get another one, right? So locally, it's a good business for the local people. Right? And actually, they are doing a favor for all the worshipers. They are doing a favor for them, right? And they will say, you know what? Everything sold here is pre-examined by the priest. It's guaranteed it's not going to get rejected. Right? So who get benefit? Let me tell you, maybe the priest gets some money too. Right? Because the priest would know, oh, this is a not from the local, you know what, well, there's some problem here or there, and reject it. So, you know, all kind of things. So, it's necessary to bring the cows. It's necessary to bring the money to offer. But there are so many business opportunities. Everybody making money. Who are you? If you are the high priest of the temple at that time, would you be able to resist that temptation? Even you think you are very righteous, right? But there will be people, they will organize, right? And like coming in and pleading and saying that, hey, you know, people need help and so on and so on. So how do you really not to do it? What is a temple by definition? Is it just a building? What is a temple? A place where you go and worship God, right? You worship God. They will be filled with the presence of God, right? Now, what Jesus is doing, he come. He actually is making a statement. He's so angry when he saw that. You know what? They are selling these oxen, the merchants. They are in the outer court. You know, the Bible actually says the temple is divided into several sections. There's outer court, inner court, right? And there's a holy place, and then there's a holy of holy, right? The outer court are where the Gentile, there are people who are not Jew, they can come. And the woman can only be in the outer court. The inner court is where all the Jewish men can go in, all right? And then they can worship God in the inner court. The holy is only where the priest can go in. And the holy of holy, only the high priest can go in once a year. You know, I mean, this is like very, yeah, very segregated. Everybody has to be very careful. I mean, you're not even allowed to go where you're not, you know, you cannot, if you're a woman, right, you're Jewish, but you cannot even go into the inner court. So where are all these, the cows are selling? It's in the outer court. But if you are a Gentile and you want to believe in this God, right, and you go, but the only place you can go is this outer court. And then you go in there and you see all these cows and oxen and selling, exchanging money. Well, you will be like, I'm here to worship God. And all I smell, all I hear, all I see are all this greed, all these things, all these, human nature exposed, totally exposed here. Would they still want to worship this God? No. Right? This is not helping. I mean, even though they have a very beautiful, grandiose temple built there, but for the Gentiles, they come and they will be like so disappointed. They wouldn't want to worship this God of Israel. You know, when Jesus come, and this is like when he was 30 years old, and this is his open ministry. He got baptized. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then he come out from the desert 40 days, and then he go into the temple. And then he saw this, and he's so filled with anger. You guys are not really honoring God. You're not honoring God. And so he's like filled with anger, and he take this rope and throw everybody out. How can one person throw out so many people and so many, money changers, and how can he do that? Let me ask you this. Have you seen something like this? I have. When I was in Taiwan, when I was younger, we have so many, the street there are filled with the people who are selling things, but it's illegal. They set up these tanfan, how do you say that? Stand, right? Selling things, right? And filled with the whole street is filled with all these illegal people selling things. And then just one policeman come in, just with a whistle blow. Beep! Everybody run. Nobody come and jump on him. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? Because they know they are doing the wrong thing. When you know you're doing the wrong thing, you're trying to make money where you shouldn't be making money. You're making a stand, eat these all these illegal chairs and tables and putting things on there. It doesn't matter, you have money on it. When the policeman and whistle blow and everybody run. The only question is that, how dare you do that? Nobody can question the policeman. How dare you do that? The only question is that, are you sure you have the authority to do that? Who are you? Yeah, prove you are. You know, sometimes a policeman don't necessarily wear a policeman hat and everything, right? It's called like what? 便衣警察, how do you say it? Like, undercover cop, right? So, you know, maybe some youngster, they were like, so, you know, bad. They take a whistle and blow. Everybody will run too, right? But if they find out you are just making a mischief, they will beat you up. Right? But here is, you know, Jesus coming, right? He didn't wear a policeman custom, right? You know, what's your costume, right? A uniform, I'm sorry. Yeah, he didn't do that. He didn't wear a high priest, anything, right? Jesus coming as a normal person. But he's like, how dare you do this? This is my Father's house, right? And you know what? There are policemen whose district, maybe, you know, if I'm a policeman, and this is my district, but I receive bribery from the local people, so I let them do the business, right? And one day, suddenly, somebody come in and push them all out. Would I be scared? You know, even though I'm a policeman, but I'm a bad police, right? Because I'm taking bribe. These high priests are just like that. Do you understand? Who dare to come into my district? This is my temple. This is my district. And how can somebody come in and throw them out? And so they come out and say, who are you? You know, it's like, I'm from FBI. You are local police, but I'm from a higher order. All right? And they were like challenging him, say, what? You know, they didn't arrest him. You see what happened there, right? There are actually, let me tell you, there are about 300 temple guards. 300 temple guards reported to the high priest. And the high priest couldn't do anything to arrest Jesus because they know what they're doing is wrong. They know. And what Jesus says, how dare you do this to my Father's house? Oh, who can claim that? Your Father? This is God's temple. You're calling God your Father? And very quickly, they want to kill him. You know that? They want to kill Jesus. This is just chapter 2. In chapter 6, they're already planning to kill him. And by the way, chapter 6 is the second time the Bible mentioned, John mentioned the Feast of Passover. So there are three times in the book of John, three times talk about the Feast of Passover. The first time is in John 2. The second time is in John 6, when the miracles of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? He feed 5,000 people. That also happened during the Feast of Passover. Why? Because Jesus himself, do you remember Jesus says, my body is, you should eat my body. You should drink my blood. Okay? And so, you know, the five bread and the 2 fish represent Jesus himself, his own body. He break his body to feed people. And then the last time is Jesus died on the Feast of Passover. Jesus died on that day. Exactly on the day of the Feast of Passover. Not just on the day, but on the hour. Why? Because, you know, according to the Bible, that the high priest, they need to bring the sheep, the sacrificial sheep, 9 o'clock in the morning, display the sheep on the altar, but not kill, just display it, examine it, that without blemish, no fault, nothing. They have to examine it and say, okay, this is a good sacrificial sheep. And then in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, they slaughter the sheep. And when Jesus come on that day, 9 o'clock in the morning, while they bring the sheep into the temple, Jesus was bring into the Calvary. And then when they are displaying the sheep, Jesus was hanging on the cross. 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the sheep was slaughtered, you know, the slit, the throat, that his last breath, that's when Jesus died. Jesus fulfilled the Lamb of God to the minute. God is doing things so spectacular. I mean, right on. He's so precision. That's why, you know, you have to know all these feasts. Things are fulfilling. You know, like the Feast of the Pentecost, right? Feast of Pentecost, it's not a Christian feast. It's actually a Jewish feast. Do you know what happened during the Moses time? What happened in the Feast of Pentecost? They were actually 50 days right after the Passover, right? We talk about they come out from Egypt. 50 days they arrived at the Sinai Mountain, all right? And then 50 days, that's when Moses come down and bring the law. He bring the law. But what happened when he saw the people, when he bring the law in the ten, the tablet, the two tablets with the Ten Commandments, right? Are people worshiping God? No, they are worshiping what? An idol, a golden calf, right? They were worshiping, and then Jesus, and then Moses was so angry, and what does he do? He smashed the tablets, right? He smashed them. Like, I couldn't give you the law. You already breaking it. I couldn't give you the law. You already breaking it. I have to. So he's so angry. And then what happened? Their Levites come up. They killed 3,000 people. People who were worshiping the idols. People who were marrying the, you know, the Gentile, you know, woman and fall into the temptation of lust. And then they come in and kill. And 3,000 people died. Okay, that's in the time of Moses when the commandment is written on the stone. All right? Then 2,000 years later, in the time of Jesus, what happened? On the Feast of, you know, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. The commandment is written. Is it written on a stone anymore? No. It's written on what? On our heart. All right? When the new commandment comes, when the Spirit comes on the Feast of Pentecost, what happened? How many people got saved? 3,000 people got saved. You get the relationship now? When the commandment is written on a stone, okay, the commandment brings death. All right? Because it's a religion. You try to keep it, but you couldn't. With your human flesh, with your own power, you couldn't keep the commandment. Nobody can. Okay? But when the flesh, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, instead of writing the commandment on the outside, on the stone, the commandment is written in your heart. Then you have the ability, because you love God, because you want to know God. And then you get life. You get eternal life. 3,000 people got saved. And that's the birth of the new church. All right? So Jesus on that day, and he's like overthrowing these things and with authority. And he claimed that this is my Father's house. And they were saying, what miracle can you perform to prove? Right? What miracle? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. What temple is he talking about? Is he talking about that temple, that stone structure, you know? He said, you destroy this temple, my body. But they don't get it. Because when he talk about the temple, they look at the temple, right? That temple they built 46 years. But Jesus is saying, this temple, the body, human body. Because God doesn't dwell in the stone structure. God's spirit want to live in a human, want to live in us. He's pointing at himself, but they don't understand. So they question him, and Jesus didn't answer. Right? But you know what he says? He said, you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. That turned out to be his own death sentence. If you go to the Matthew 26, you'll find it. There are people who are making the false accusation against Jesus, making the false witness against him. People come and say, oh, we heard him say, obviously those people were there, right? And they probably are the money changers. You know, they hate him. They were like, when can I revenge, right? You throw away all my money. You throw away all my cows. And then they find the opportunity. Now they can persecute Jesus. And they say, I heard him say that he's going to destroy the temple. And he's going to rebuild it in 3 days. This is so deep. And Jesus is basically what they were asking. Proof. Show us a miracle. And he said, I'm going to give you a miracle. The miracle is I'm going to be persecuted and I'm going to die. But in 3 days, I'll resurrect again. I'll resurrect again. All right? And so they didn't understand. So, you know, so they let him go. Pretty much Jesus just walked away. Right? Isn't that a miracle? You know, and Jesus proved that he is the Son of God, right? And then he said that this is my body. The temple is his body, you know, in the verse 21. And then, do you think the disciple understand what Jesus is saying at that time? No, right? They are just like everybody else. They were also confused, right? Right? But then when Jesus, 3 days later, when Jesus resurrected, and they suddenly realize, wow, he's talking about his own body. His body is the temple, right? And now we ask Christian, we also know that, right? We know that. We said Jesus is the head. And who is the body? The church. We are the body now. We are the temple. We are the temple. The temple is not what's left in Jerusalem. Even though, you know, they're still trying to rebuild the temple, and I think it will still happen, all right? You know, once this Jerusalem is declared, you know, capital and everything, and this is so amazing because just before I go back to Taiwan, I have no idea that Trump is going to choose the day, May 14, to declare that Jerusalem is the capital. They move on that day. How many of you watch the news know that? On the May 14, exactly 70 years after the independence of Israel, that Jerusalem is declared the capital because U.S. moved the embassy over there on that day. And even before I go back to Taiwan, I have no idea this is happening. I mean, things are happening so fast, all right? So if they're going to rebuild the third temple, let me tell you, it's not going to be too surprising because last time when I went to Jerusalem, they already have the third temple institute. They are already preparing to build a temple. They're just waiting for the moment. Whatever happened, you know, maybe the war break out and maybe the temple right now, the golden something, what you call the gold. The dome, the golden dome, right? If it collapses for whatever reason, right? They can rebuild it. They can rebuild the temple, and they call it a third temple very quickly. And that will hurry in because the Bible actually talks about the Antichrist will enter the temple and declare himself as God. So it could happen any time now, all right? So, and here, let's go to the verse 23. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, and many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. So here, he talked about Jesus actually performed many miracles. Even though Jesus says, the miracle I'm going to give you is the sign that when I resurrect, 3 days. But the Bible did not record all the miracle that he did. So obviously, he also performed some healing during that time. But it's not written. Why? Because if you read the John chapter 20, John says that I couldn't write all the miracles that Jesus has done. If I try to write every miracle that Jesus done, that all the pen, all the ink in the world cannot contain it. It's just too many, so he skipped them. But from this verse, you can see that Jesus already performed several other miracles, and there are people believed him because of that. All right? But let me tell you something. Does that belief, because they saw the miracle, does that make them true followers of Jesus? No. All right? I mean, even if you witness some miracles, something happened, you know, even yourself got healed of some disease or something, that doesn't necessarily change your heart. Because so many people, what they want is the miracle. So many people, they want is the gift, but not the gift giver. What Jesus really wants is he wants to own us completely. He wants your heart. He wants you to, you know, love him and follow him. Not just like, oh, I believe in Jesus because I saw the miracle. Okay? And that's why, you know, the next verse says, and Jesus, on his part, he did not trust himself. Jesus did not trust himself to them because he knew all people. And he need no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. What was in man? What's in you? What are you filled with? All right? And Jesus knew. You know, this word new is so important. I just have to elaborate a little bit on this word new, okay? New is also like in Hebrew is yodea. Everybody say yodea. Yeah. And the word yodea is actually know, I know you. All right? I know you. But also the tree of the good and evil is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge, the word also is yodea. The question is, do I know you, you know, by you do right or wrong things, or do I know you as a person, as, you know, by heart? God wants us to know him. The word is so important. No, I know you. All right? Is it possible that you said you know God and God says, I don't know you? Is it possible? Let me ask you this. Where is that in the Bible? Exactly. Matthew chapter 7. There are people who say, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in your name. We preach your name. We do miracles in your name. We do everything in your name. And Jesus looked at them and says, I'm sorry, I never know you. Oops, what happened? Why? But Jesus, I know you. Jesus said, no, I don't know you. How is that possible? Do you think somebody following Jesus for 3.5 years and doesn't know Jesus? The question is, do you know you? Do you know yourself? Joshua, do you know yourself? Scott, do you know yourself? How much do you know yourself? Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'll just digress a little bit.
Can you explain entrust to that time? The word entrust, that he didn't entrust.
He doesn't entrust himself because he doesn't want to like depend on people. Like, you know, people will come. You know, there actually there are times when all the people will say, "Oh, this is King. This is our King." I mean, he can perform miracles, right? He can heal people and he can produce food. Right? Limitless. I mean, this guy can be king. He can come and govern us, right? Nobody can conquer us anymore. He can overthrow the Roman government. Right? If somebody died, he just like wake up and he wake up. Right? I mean, you're lacking food and no problem. So everybody wants you like, Jesus, you are a king. But is Jesus want that? Does he want that? No, he doesn't want that. What happened? Let me tell you something. You know, The hardest thing is this word is so important to know. This word, know. You have to go home and meditate on this word. All right? God wants us to know him. And God wants to know us. The only way we can be known is we are totally vulnerable and transparent to God. We're no longer wearing a masquerade. You don't pretend. Don't pretend you are somebody else. Do you think Peter is honest? Huh? Pretty honest, right? Is he brave? Is he courageous? Does he love God all his heart? Right? He's able to walk on the water. Right? And on the last day, when Jesus is going to get crucified, on the last day, right? What does Jesus do? Jesus says, you know, some of you, one of you here is going to betray me. Okay? One of you here is going to betray me. You know what Peter said? He stand up and said, Jesus, let me tell you something. I'll die for you. I'll follow you everywhere you go. I'll die for you. And you know what Jesus do? He look at Peter and says, Peter, it's just like here. Jesus, on his part, he did not entrust himself to them, and them include Peter. He doesn't even entrust himself to Peter because he knew all people. And he need no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. So he doesn't need Peter to bear witness about himself. Even Peter says, Jesus, let me tell you something. I love you. I will die for you. And Jesus is like, Peter, you don't know yourself. You are just boasting. You are pretending. Because you think you are courageous. You think you are smart. You think you are devotional. You love me so much. You die for me. It's like you are just a balloon. I'm going to bust you open. Tonight, you're going to deny me 3 times. Wow. If you were Peter, what would you think? No way. Yeah. Jesus said, wait. Yeah, just wait. You see. All right? We are just, what are you filled with? Pride. You know, Peter, he couldn't wait to show off that he's the leader. He wants everybody to know, I'm the leader. I love Jesus the most. I'm the most courageous one. He couldn't wait. He take every opportunity to jump on. Right? Call me out to walk on the water. Right? And Jesus says, who do you say I am? You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Yeah. You're right. But the next moment, right? I mean, Jesus said, I'm gonna die in 3 days. And he said, oh no, you don't do that. And he said, Satan, get behind me, right? Right? And now he says, I'll die for you. And Jesus said, no, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you are filled with. Jesus is saying, I couldn't use you until you truly encounter yourself. I couldn't use you until you stop wearing masquerade. You are pretending. We can play church every day, every week. We can be like those high priests, you know, praying church. All right? But you didn't really know who you are. You know, for me personally, I'm very performance driven. You know, I really want people to love me and honor me and everything, you know. And yet God says that, David, you have to come before me. Exactly. Just as I am, you know, the song, just as I am, come before me and just admit that you are totally broken. You couldn't even, there are things, I mean, I go back to Taiwan, my mom is 80 years old, and I, so many times I almost exploded. She treat me like a 12-year-old. And I have to remind her, say, Mom, I'm 60 now. I'm a pastor, you know. And she couldn't understand, you know. And I was like, and I have to come to God and say, God, help me. I couldn't even, like, you know, treat my mom well or right. And I have to deal with my brother, you know. He has problem with my mom and his own wife, and I have to go back home. I have to deal with all these things. But I'm being vulnerable with you right now. I want to be real. Amen. All right? We don't need to pretend. The reason that Jesus says, I never know you, because we always come to Jesus with a mask. And Jesus says that you have to face who you really are. Humble yourself. Truly, truly broken. The Bible says if you are poor, if you are poverty in spirit, then you are blessed. Those who mourn are blessed. Remember those words? If you think you are pretty good, I study the Bible well, I pray, I fast. You know, I'm doing fine. And God says, that, no, you're not poor enough. You don't know. You're filled with something. You are not filled with the Spirit. You are filled with yourself. You are filled with yourself. Today is the Feast of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit comes. I want to invite you, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, would you stand up right now? And we come before God. We come before God. Let's bow our head and pray. Jesus, we thank you. Today is the day. Today is the day. The 50 days after Jesus, you died on the cross. You are the sacrificial lamb. Your body is the temple. And you are the head. And we are your body. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your presence. Father God, we pray together. We come before you. We pray. We humble ourselves. We empty ourselves. We don't need to pretend anymore. Father God, we pray, fill us with your spirit. Open our eyes to see how poor we are, to see how vulnerable we are. And we don't need to pretend. Father God, I pray, just like today, that what we read, that Jesus come into the temple and he cleans the temple. He throw out all the money changers. He throw out all these sellers of the oxen and the donkeys and the sheep and the doves. Father God, we pray that you come and cleanse us. Cleanse us. This outer court of us, when people see us, are they get drawn to God more or they get rejected because of our religious outfit? God, we come and we repent before you. We don't want to wear these high priest costume or these uniforms anymore. These are just outer things. We pray for a real life changing. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come today. Today, on the day of the Feast of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit arrived, I pray for this church, Father God. I pray for this church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we change inside out. Father God, we pray every one of us, we will come before you. We humble ourselves. We take away anything that we are pretending to be. We want to come before you just as I am, just as we are. Amen. Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Fill us, Holy Spirit, come. any one of you feel to cry out to the Holy Spirit, you can pray now. You can cry out to the Holy Spirit and say, fill me, Holy Spirit. I need you. I cannot trust my own flesh anymore. Louder, one by one. If you pray louder, we will amen with you. Let's raise up our hand and receive a blessing. I'm going to bless you with this Aaronic, the high priest Aaron's blessing over the Israel people. I'll bless you in English and also in Hebrew. The Lord bless you and keep you. Ibarechecha Adonai Vishmarecha. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Ya'eh Adonai panav elech et bihuna bihunecha. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Isa Adonai panav elicha bisam lecha shalom. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. God be with you. Bless you.